Romans chapter 3 from verse 1 to 9. Okay. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1 to 9. Let us read alternatively. Number one, what advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I'm using a human argument. Why not say, as we are being slanderously reported as saying, and as some claim that we say, let us do evil, that good may result. Sorry. Okay, last verse, verse 9, let us read together one more time. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. Today's conclusion is last part says, Jews and Gentiles means all human beings alike are all under sin. Last Sunday in the previous chapter, chapter 2, last part, we saw a man is not a Jew if he is merely one outwardly. A man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. You remember? That was what we studied last Sunday. Means the true Jewishness is not a matter of physical heritage, but a matter of one's relationship with God. And in our version, a man is not a Christian if he is merely one outwardly. A man is a Christian if he is one inwardly. The true Christianness is not a matter of outward membership of a local church, but a matter of personal, individual, daily relationship and fellowship with Christ. That's why Jesus says, the eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom God sends. God looks at our hearts, also our actions, which come out our hearts. Then today, in chapter 3, verse 1 to 9, we read just now, Paul continues to use the rhetoric of diatriphic. So today's topic is five rhetorical questions. But in this place, Paul does so by posing questions and providing answers himself. But these questions is not merely a hypothetical question, but reflect the real objections. So, from today's topic, I want to share with you 5 questions and answers. This question is a very practical question. Even today, many people object and challenge against the attributes and qualities of God. Okay, first question and answer is from verse 1 and 2. First question is, in verse 1, what advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Answer is, in verse 2, much in every way. First of all, more than anything else, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. Yes, no question in history, in his goodness, God has given Jews, Israel people, wonderful, great material and spiritual blessings. The promised land, flowing with milk and honey. The righteous law and priesthood, temple and patriarchs. More than anything else, they received the word of God. For example, God gave his own word to Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Samuel, many, many prophets, etc. And all of them were Jews. Also, even the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, came in this world in the appearance of the Jewish man, not Korean appearance, not American, not African. Also, Jesus' 12 disciples were Jewish men, all of them. Bible, especially Old Testament. Old Testament is the Word of God. Do you believe this? Old Testament is the Word of God, but also at the same time, humanly speaking, we can say Old Testament is Israel's history book. Israel's history book. Then this advantage of having the very words of God involves a duty and responsibility to share those words of God with other peoples, other nations, so that they might see who God is and return to God and to be reconciled to God. But they failed in their mission. How about today in our version? In our version, it's like this. What advantage then is there in being a Christian? What value is there in membership of church? The answer is much in every way. First of all, we Christians. Are you Christians? If we are Christians, we have been entrusted with the very words of God. Last Sunday, we started about the name and title Christians. Yes, the name, title, Christian is the most beautiful, most powerful, most influential name and title in this world given to us by God. The name, the title, Christian shows what our identity, our nature, our standing, our position is in this world. You know, the Christians, we Christians are not followers of this world, but leaders of this world. We Christians are not conformers of this world, but transformers of this world. But with this fact, we Christians have so many advantages and values, privileges. At least there are 2 things we must remember and put into practice. Yes, first, this privilege, this advantage, this value we Christians have should not make us proud, arrogant, but humble and thankful to God. especially in his initial action in entrusting his very words for world salvation, world mission. God did not give his word to big countries such as to small and weak tribal nation, Israel. Why? In order to show his greatness and make all human beings humble before God. Also today, same. Bible says, are you chosen? We are chosen people. Bible says, you are chosen people. Royal priesthood, a holy people, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him, God, who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And Bible says continually, God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong in this world. God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Why? So that no one may boast before God. If we are chosen by God to be saved, to be reconciled to him, we have nothing to boast before God. Another thing we must remember is that, yes, we are chosen, we are saved by his grace to share this salvation with others. That's why Paul says, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast. If I do not preach the gospel, woe to me, curse to me, because I'm compelled, I'm forced to preach the gospel. This is the first question, first challenge given to us, to Christians. What advantage then is there in being a Christian? What value is there in membership of church? Much in every way. First of all, we have been entrusted with the very words of God. Do you have the word of God? Do you have? Amen. If you have the words of God, how do you use this very words of God in your practical life? This is big encouragement, not only big encouragement, big privilege, but also big challenge, big duty and responsibility. Okay, second question and answer is, from second question to fourth question, we can see big contrast between man's attribute and God's attribute. For example, what is the attributes of man by nature? And what is the attributes of God by nature? Okay, second question is, verse 3, second question. What if some did not have faith? Some means human beings. What if some human beings did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Answer is, in verse 4, answer is, not at all, not at all. Let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. You is God in this sentence. By nature, all human beings are faithless, unfaithful. But God, only God is faithful. Then the faithlessness, unfaithfulness of man cannot nullify the faithfulness of God. Rather, on the contrary, faithlessness of man, unfaithfulness of man enhances, enhances the faithfulness of God. Then the faithlessness of man cannot be justified simply because faithlessness of man enhances the faithfulness of God. What is the faithfulness of God? The faithfulness of God means God will always do what he has said. God always fulfills what he has promised. That's why the Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man. In this verse says, every man liar, including you. Are you involved in this sentence? Bible says, verse 4, every man a liar. Who can say to this sentence, no, 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 not me, not me. Philip, can you say, not me? Bible says, if you say, not me, it means you say something against God, because this is the word of God. God says, everyone a liar. The faithfulness of God means God will always do what he has said, always fulfill what he has promised. That's why the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie. God is a son of man that he should change his heart, his mind. Does God speak and then not act? Does God promise and not fulfill? Lamentations 3:22-23 says, because of the God's, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because God's compassion never fail. His greatness is in his faithfulness. It means his faithfulness is great. Shall we say it together? Great is his faithfulness. Grace. Yes, grace. Great, great. Even rich heaven. Great is God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is our only hope. We can praise him. We can worship him. We can exalt him simply because his faithfulness is great. When the gospel and the faithfulness of God is the central theme of the Christian churches, spiritual growth takes place. You know, we must remember all the time our initial faith was God's loving faithfulness. God's faithfulness never changes. That's why the Bible says, God demonstrates his own love. God shows his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. First, contrast between God's attributes and man's attribute is man's unfaithfulness, faithlessness, versus God's faithfulness. So the question and answer is, from verse 5 to 6. Also, this is another contrast between man's attribute and God's attribute. In verse 5, question is, if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I'm using a human argument. The answer to this question is in verse 6. Answer is, certainly not. If it was so, how could God judge the world? Also, just like the same with in case of man's faithlessness and God's faithfulness. By nature, man is unrighteous, unjust, unfair. Only God is righteous, right, and just and fair. Then the unrighteousness of man cannot nullify the righteousness of God. Rather, on the contrary, unrighteousness of man enhances, exemplifies the righteousness of God. But the unrighteousness of man cannot be justified because the unrighteousness of man enhances the righteousness of God. Then what is the righteousness of God? There's Bible. The word, another word of God. Okay, make the volume big for everybody listen to the words of God. Because we are hungry. We are so hungry for the word of God. Amen. Okay, what is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God means God always acts. Always, God always acts in accordance with what is right. Also, at the same time, himself is the final standard of what is right. Please, we must remember God himself is right. He is not only right, just, righteous, but also he is the initial and final standards of what is right. So we can say like this, God is not right because he is doing something right. But we must say like this, whatever he is doing is right because God himself is right all the time, and he himself is the only final standard, principle of what is right. And in the Bible, the righteousness of God is revealed at least in five areas. For example, the righteousness of God is revealed in his punishing the wicked. The righteousness of God is revealed in his rewarding the faithful man. Also, the righteousness of God is revealed in rewarding his people, in vindicating his people against the evil doers. Also, finally, this is hope given to us. His righteousness is revealed in his forgiving the penitents of their sins. This is a big blessing given to us. Bible says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful, just, righteous. So he will forgive us all sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 5 says, our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly. Wow. It means man's unrighteousness enhances righteousness of God. In what ways? How does unrighteousness of man enhance righteousness of God practically to make it the best? How? Practically. Let me give you just 5 points. How the unrighteousness of man enhances righteousness of God. Number one, our awareness of sin causes us to repent, resulting in what? Resulting in, finally, salvation. Number two, our repeated failures results in a new consciousness of sin and awareness of our need for God's help. Number three, our deepened understanding of sin confirms the truth that final victory and the spiritual growth come from God's help, God's strength, not from our own strength. Number five, God's forgiveness. Yes, God promised in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and right. He will forgive us all sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a big blessing given to us. Why? Because God's forgiveness becomes big parts of our testimony to others. Do you have a testimony to share with others? We can share our testimony. If we experience God's wonderful forgiveness, we can testimony like this. God has done this for me. So God can do this. God will can it for you. This is our living practical testimony. And finally, in the light of God's righteousness, our unrighteousness makes us humble and depend on God's forgiveness. There is no hope without forgiveness and the righteousness of God. This is message given to us from this question and answer. And fourth question and answer is from verse 7 and 8. Another, this is a final contrast between man's attribute and God's attribute. Almost a similar question with the third question. Okay. Fourth question, verse 7. Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as we are being slanderously reported as saying, and as some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Shall we say like this? If we are really born-again Christian, can you say like this? Oh, because of this, let us do evil that we experience another blessing. Answer is, their condemnation, their judgment is deserved. By nature, all human beings are falsehood. This is the attributes of human beings, falsehood. Then God is true. This is a big and final contrast between man's attributes and God's attributes. Man's falsehood, gojit, and God's truthfulness. Then man's falsehood cannot nullify God's truthfulness. Rather, on the contrary, man's falsehood enhances the truthfulness of God. But the falsehood of man cannot be justified because falsehood of man enhances the truthfulness of God. And what is the truthfulness of God? The truthfulness of God means God is true. God is true. God is the truth. God is the source of all truth and final standards of all truth. So God's word, God's declaration, God's representation, all of them eternally conform to eternity. So we can say like this, we must not say like this. Yes, God is true because he is doing something true. But we must say, whatever God is doing is true because God himself is true and truth and source of all truth and initial, final standards of what is true. Then our Lord Jesus Christ is saying continually, I am the truth, I am the truth. It means outside Jesus Christ, nothing true can be found. Yes, the conclusion from these three questions and answers is outside Christ, anything faithful or anything truthful or anything righteous does not exist. Only inside Jesus Christ, something true, something faithful, something righteous can be found. This is the conclusion given to us through these three questions and answers. And finally, this is our practical conclusion given to us. Final question and answer. Fifth question and answer is from verse 9. In this one verse, we can see question and answer together. Okay. Final question is, verse 9, what shall we conclude then? What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? The answer is, are we any better? Answer is, not at all. Answer is, not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin, the power of sin. Are you saved? Amen. Are you saved?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But when we were saved, we were sinners. When we were sinners, we were saved. We were not saved because we were better, but we were saved by his own grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why even though we are Christian, we have many advantages, values, privileges, we are not better. We are not better. Basically, by nature, all human beings are sinners. What is your attitude? So, what is your attitude toward sin, against sin? We must be very, very, if we are really born again Christian, we must be serious in our attitude against sin, toward sin. I want to challenge you, what is your attitude against sin, toward sin? Yes, we all human beings are under sin, but if we are really born again Christian, by his grace, by his mercy, by his love, what should our attitude be against sin, toward sin? Why? Because our enemy Satan came into the world to cause us, to challenge us, to tempt us to sin. But our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of Satan, to remove away sin. You know, our enemy Satan always whispers to our ears. If you feel like this in your heart, this is the voice of Satan, not voice of God. Voice challenges us all the time, the matter of sin. Yes, Satan says, yes, everybody is a sinner, we know. So don't worry about sin. Sin is very normal because everybody sins. Don't worry about sin. You need to keep in touch with the culture around you. then if you sin, you will get more lesson from sin. If you sin, you will experience more blessing, more grace from God. This is a sweet challenge, sweet encouragement from our enemy, Satan. Then Jesus says, I came in this world to destroy the works of the devil. Also, I came here to remove sin. God loves sinners, but God hates what? Sin. God is too holy. God is too holy to be friend with sin. This is challenge in this final conclusion. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all on the sin. Next study in this book, Bible says, there is no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then the answer against sin, the enemy, this final remedy against sin can be found in Jesus Christ. So the conclusion is not to believe in Jesus Christ and to remain faithful is absolutely impossible and contradictory. Also, not to believe in Jesus Christ and to remain righteous is absolutely impossible and contradictory. And finally, not to believe in Jesus Christ and to keep true and truth is also absolutely impossible, contradictory. That's why the work of God. Are you working the works of God? Amen. Bible says, conclusion, the works of God for us to do is to believe in Jesus Christ, to trust in Jesus Christ, and just to follow and obey him. This, let me repeat one more time as final sentence in this sermon. The works of God for us to do is to believe in Jesus Christ, trust in him, and obey him, follow him. Christian is the follower of Jesus Christ. My dear Christians, Christians are not followers of this world, but followers of Jesus Christ. May God bless all of us. Shall we pray together? Father God, we have no choice but to say thank you, praise you, worship you, simply because our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our God, our example of what kind of man we should be, what kind of action we should do in this world as your disciple, as your follower. Father God, yes, we are living in this world, but we are not of this world. We are your follower, not the followers of this world. Father God, fill all of us with your spirit, spirits of power, spirits of wisdom, spirits of understanding, spirits of illumination, and spirits of inspiration, spirits of revelation, so that we may know what your will is upon us. Help us to be victorious day by day, day after day, in Christian life, in this unbelieving world, so that your name may be glorified glorified. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.